Then open up our regular scheduled meeting. So welcome to our meeting. It's April 10th. Can't believe it. So I'll ask the Deputy Village Clerk to please take the roll call.
Trustee Bachner?
Here.
Gillis?
Here.
Trustee Vasquez?
Here.
Brennan?
Here.
Trustee Johnson?
Here.
Yeah, we okay. should do it separately because
right.
it's a
correct.
New meeting.
Right. Yep. And Trustee O'Connell.
Yes. Okay, hang on 1 minute, Ken. We're going to bring in. So if I need a motion to allow Trustee Johnson to participate telephonically due to work obligations.
Second.
Okay.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
And Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Okay, welcome, Ken, if you're there. There you are.
Yeah.
Okay. Yow. All right. Okay, let's get. Pledge of Allegiance. If I can ask you to stand and we'll say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. All right, for which nation, indivisible, with liberty.
All right, so we have quite a few citizen comments, mostly regarding traffic. Is it regarding 7A, or is it just, I mean, I'll let you speak now, or do we want to wait till 7A? I just wanted to give the community. You want to speak now? We'll let you come on up and speak now. We'll get through this fairly quick. So I'll ask Ed Kemper to come up.
Evening. My name is Ed Kemper. I live in the 1400 block of Bonnie Bray. I am speaking tonight to oppose the barriers in place on Harlem at both Greenfield and Lemoyne. Apologies for a pretty low tech.
Sorry.
But I think it helps visualize a few points that I would like to make at least. This is an overview of the traffic here, Harlem, William, Division, Greenfield. This car represents my wife's commute home from Northeast Oak Park. The car that we're going west on Lemoyne would be one half a block to the alley, half a block to our garage. That's the blue line. The red line represents my wife's drive home now with the barriers in place. The car takes a left on Harlem. Right about here would be about where be approaching the alleyway. Right about here, the car would be probably in the garage. Somewhere around here, she'd be in the living room. The drive really is straight down Harlem. I know everyone knows this. I just want to point it out. The drive is down Harlem, hit the Division corridor, you speed down William, just kidding. And then Greenfield, you know, hello. I know this car shouldn't be here, but here it comes. So, and then back up to the alleyway. So, I guess I would just ask a few questions. Let's look at this map. Which car is causing the most traffic in River Forest? This red car or this blue car? Which car is safer? The driver in the blue car, the driver in the red car? Which car here, how does this car get to Yoke Restaurant if it's here? Which car creates more pollution, this car or the car B? Am I just being self-centered up here and pointing out, like, this is just one car, this just happens one time, or is this really all the traffic from Oak Park moving into River Forest? So I say that I don't think it's one car here. It's, and this is a really dense block. There's, I mean, my next door neighbor is a 19 in a condo building. So I'd say there's a lot of density here. It's a lot more than one car. And I'd also point out all cars coming from the south are basically doing the red loop. All cars from the north are doing the red loop. From the west, it's fine. I know safety is an issue. Which car is safer for the River Forest school children, the blue car or the red car? I've spent a lot of time thinking about this. I've not understood all the forces that be or whatever. Those are simply my observations. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Ken. Ed, sorry. Dr. Nusfora. And I just want to, right, I know I'm probably, I'm killing it, and I'm sorry. I shouldn't be killing it. Yeah, I know. I want to hear.
All right. So I'm going to be brief because I've been told that my talk was too long. So I cut it short. I just have 3 points that I would like to make, okay? The first one is that we know this both from the March 15 meeting and also from an updated petition where we have somewhere between 250 and 300 signatures of residents who oppose the barriers. So the first point that I want to make is that the vast majority of residents who expressed an opinion believe that the barriers and cul-de-sac have actually made things worse. And we just heard one, and respectfully ask that they be taken down. Now, the second point that I would like to make is that I was told that the whole thing why the barriers had been set up was because there was cut-through traffic, and therefore this was a way to reduce cut-through traffic. But what happens, in fact, is that the traffic now has been pushed to William and Monroe and Jackson, and we know that because I have been walking the streets asking for signatures, and people have been telling me that, in fact, the traffic has gone up, which, of course, it will happen because you close two streets and the cars move somewhere else. And, you know, they go down Monroe or Jackson or Williams, then they will take Greenfield or Limoyne, then they will turn right on southbound Harlem, and here we have the cut-through. So the second point that we have that I want to make is that the barriers have done virtually nothing to reduce the cut-through traffic. What they have just done is to reroute it, creating new congestion and new safety problems. And we know about the congestion because people have been showing photos of line of car on Greenfield and on the alley. Now, the third point is this. This is actually a request that I have for the board members. If the board members decide to keep the barriers, please give us the factual, science-based reasons of the decision and show us, please, a professional study that endorses the decision so we can understand the utility of the barrier. This has not been done. The Chloe-Calloway report was available online for all residents, and that was good. It was rejected in favor of another plan, mysterious. We respectfully ask to know who made this plan and to see the science-based and fact-based reasons of this plan as it was done for the Calloway report. From what I've heard before, and also I've read the budget, so at page 244 of the budget, if I'm not mistaken, the village has budgeted a total of $300,000 for the installation of permanent barriers, plus what was already spent for the temporary barriers, and plus the KLOA report, we are close to $400,000 for measures that have not been explained to us and that have actually made traffic worse. I think that is fair to the residents who pay for that to see the study proposing this project and the qualification of the persons of company who support the project. And when I speak about qualification, please, I mean traffic qualification, safety for traffic, cars, the speed for traffic. I don't want to know qualification for traffic in airports or on train stations. Those are not good enough. So qualification is with respect to traffic, people who know what they're doing and can tell us not only why these measures are necessary, but also what they can predict what will happen if we do this or if we do that. So I please ask, I officially ask, to please see the study if any kind of barriers, either on Greenfield or Lemoyne or Clinton or Bonnie Bray, anyone, please, I think I'm entitled to see a professional study. Thank you.
Okay, Dr. Escobar.
Good evening. I have some bad news. The bad news that is that I prepared a 12 double page report, but considering that you don't have that much time, I reduced to half page. Let me tell you briefly how I end up in River Forest. Actually, I arrived June the 2nd, 1965, to the Good Old Park Hospital. It was a program to help Bolivian physicians, and they help us with the Catholic physicians in Chicago. And they help us to come and take the tests and so on, and level us with the American graduates. So I did that, and when I was working at Oak Park for 1 year, I met Dr. Joseph Kostrubala. He was that time the chief of plastics and reconstructive surgery at Good Cook County Hospital. Historically, Cook County Hospital in 1965 was the largest hospital in the world. It had almost 3,500 beds, and it had only 35 operating rooms. So Dr. Kostrubala lived in William, River Forest, and then, so I was impressed with that. When I was a resident in internal medicine at Columbus Cuneo Medical Center, Dr. Henry Rossi, who was the dean of Rush Medical School, but he ended up at Columbus, he lived in River Forest, and I asked him, and then because thanks to my uncle Joseph, I came speaking English, that helped me, like General Patton helped me a hell of a lot. And then I was able to communicate. And I asked Dr. Rossi, I said, how much would a house in River Forest would cost? He gave me a big smile and he said, Jaime, do you know how much it costs to cut a tree in River Forest? So I looked at him and I was going to say, Dr. Rossi, I don't know and I don't care, but I was polite. And that enough. So 6 years after I arrived, we bought the house, and we moved January 1971 to Good River Forest. I was enchanted with the neighborhood, the city. The only thing I resented when I'm flying to Bolivia or other parts in the world, I like to talk to the person next to me, and she asks, he or he asks, where do you live? And I said, in River Forest. And he looked at me and said, where is that? I said, oh, next to Park. Ah, Oak Park. Okay, so it's fine, but I forgave them. Anyway, going to, the last part of the story is that Dr. Rossi, a few years later, and then I was in practice already, and he lived in a mansion in River Forest, I forget the street. He met me in a meeting at the Chicago Medical Society, and he said, Jaime, would you ask one of your rich Bolivian practitioners to buy my house? So I didn't want to remind him about the tree. Okay, that was a little bit longer story. Now, coming to the point of traffic. First of all, let me tell you from the bottom of my heart that and maybe you can pull both of my ears. While I was in practice, I was busy, and I didn't have the time to come here. But I am very happy to meet you, to know you, and all of you, they look like wise, sensible persons, and good leaders, because that's why, because you're leaders, you are here. And I think that if I would be a surgeon, a neurosurgeon inpatient, I would remove the barriers myself. Of course, I would get in trouble, definitely. But I am an internist, a clinician. And we clinicians, we try to make the diagnosis, differential diagnosis, see what is the disease. In this case, I think we have a fairly good-sized disease with these barriers, which I don't think are helping completely. First of all, I have to say honestly that I did not know that the barriers were coming, and it was a surprise. I was surprised that I am, fortunately, there were no officers. And when I turned, still was able to turn from North to Clinton, and it says, do not enter, there was a barrier. And I said, oh my God, but then I went south. And one day a lady told me, you cannot come from here. And he said, but I live here in Clinton, you see, so anyway. But then, of course, I learned, and there were officers, and I didn't do any. This would have been a long time ago. Now, what I want to tell you is that the barriers, I don't think, are helping, because as a good citizen, I belong to this nice country now, we have the no left turn from 7 to 9, no left turn from 4 to 6. And that was working well. You see, you just have to remember, and if you forgot about the sign, you have to go all the way to North Avenue and learn your lesson. But then I believe that the possible solution to this problem is that you have to really think seriously and carefully that we, the citizens of the northeast of River Forest, we think that the barriers will not help that much. The barriers are creating problems, like the gentleman presented, and so. And then it is making my life difficult, more difficult. I am I call myself a super senior. And then, then I have to remember that I have to go for division and so. And Josephine, Dr. Josephora mentioned about the budget and so. And then the question you nice ladies and gentlemen have to ask, is it worth to spend that much money to put some barriers that eventually will not help the traffic, will not? I do agree. I understand that some, I wouldn't call them bad drivers, but bus drivers, they want to cut the corner of Harlem North. But as far as I can tell you, I didn't see a significant increase, you see, of that traffic. Therefore, I am opposed, and I think you will make the right decision, and that's why you are the leaders, and we are the citizens, and your decisions have to be fair and good for the benefit of the good River Forest. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Thank you, Doctor.
Okay, so Novak, so would both of you want to come up at the same time, or? I just want to remind everyone that comes up, we try to have a five-minute limit, just simply so everyone can talk. And believe me, everything you say is so important. So we just ask that you stay within the five and try to be succinct. That's all.
All right. Thanks for the time tonight. My name is Darshana Novick. I own Novick Orthodontics. I've been up here before. I am up here again requesting the removal of the barriers, especially along North Avenue and Clinton. I am one of the businesses that the barrier has created a corridor of some of us there, and it's creating inaccessibility to our practices. It's creating safety concerns within the corridor of cars not being able to really navigate properly. It's causing speeding cars down the alleys. I mean, you know, we attended the Traffic and Safety Commission, the meeting, and I don't know that there was obviously a lot of time put into these decisions, but I'm not sure that we got answers about the thought that was put into these decisions. There was, you know, there's data, there was a study, and I'm just wondering, did anyone ask the experts of this study why they suggested not putting these corridors in, why they suggested not cul-de-sacking these areas? Because that's exactly what the report stated. So, I mean, I think in an effort of what other people are also saying, more thought, not necessarily more time, but more thought should be put into these decisions. And I am opposed to the barriers, and I am requesting that they be removed.
Robert Novick, partner with her at the business of North Avenue. You guys took the suggestion of the Traffic Safety Committee, and I strongly suggest you take the suggestions that they made last Traffic Safety Committee meeting and do what they said, that do what they say to do, to start the process of reevaluating the catastrophe that's happening on the North Coast. It will be a cancer, and businesses are closing, and you will never be able to replace them.
Patrick Berg.
I've been in the village about 10 years, and on Clinton, the times that I have gone down, I used to call it as Williams. Don't anymore because I call it Bill now, because I've had to go down it so many times. Literally, maybe three or four times, and that was probably because I went to the little clinic there a few times. And it's literally what I'm going south on Harlem. When I get north, if I'm lucky, the light's green, and I just go down a ball field and make a right turn on Lemoyne, basically home. Now, literally, it's like the red line and the road. They're traveling three or four times as far. Or if I make a right turn, then I'm forced with the notion of over the Lathrop, or, you know, standing in line with the other people trying to make a left-hand turn to go south than any other one. So I didn't perceive that there was a problem. So I came home from the airport one time, and there was. And I was in Uber, and I said, well, just go around it, because, you know, he didn't want to go down the alley because he saw a sign that said not a thoroughfare. Uh-huh. So we went around it. And every time I go north on Clinton, which I try not to do, but I'm allowed to go through it, I meet somebody who's sitting trying to figure out what to do. The other day, someone literally backed up onto North Avenue successfully, but it's, you know, a terrible maneuver to make. But people are very confused about what to do, and the alley traffic is.
I'm not quite sure I can read the first. Is it Pete? Pete Tamaris? Pete? Yep. Yep.
Here we're here again, and the problem is the barricades. I'd like to know whose decision was to put those barricades on. It make all the citizens so difficult and so aggravated, and including myself too. I work in the city, and always I turn on Harlem, go south, and I take Lemoyne to go to Jackson Street. First day when you guys installed the barricades, I turned and I saw barricades. I said, okay, I'm going to go to the next one. I go to the next one, was Medigate. And then I drive all the way to Division, and I go to Jackson, and I come down all the way to North Haven, which I live. I don't know whose decision was. I don't know if the village has any, can I say? But no, I disagree for those barricades. And I hope, you know, you people listen to everyone, and someday we'll take them out. Because if you close them up, Clinton, Bunny Bray, close them up, William, close them up, Monroe, close Jackson, and then we're going to be staying in the River Force and we can't get out. You tell me why you don't go straight from North Avenue east, west to turn on my street. You know how much traffic is it? I can't wait. Only I can wait, you know, when the left of light turns red and then I turn. So I avoid to go from there, and you know, so I always going south and turn right to Lamont. So that's my opinion. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you. Thank you, Pete. Beth Haverman? Heiferman?
Hi, my name is Beth Heiferman. I own property at 7365 North Avenue, where I've been practicing dentistry for 35 years. And I stand with all my fellow dentists. We have just chaos in our little section. Cars speeding down the alley. Cars very confused as to how to navigate getting finding parking. It used to be a very simple situation in our area, and now it's just it's a safety concern. And I just wanted to agree with all to remove the barricades.
Hi, I'm Lisa Economos. I know most of you. I live at 1439 Clinton in River Forest, and I've lived in River Forest for most of my life. I thought it was important tonight to go over some things that I haven't seen in the minutes, and I think it's really important that this be included. The chronology of what occurred here is something that I don't think the village wants to see recur, but if you recall, in January of 22, the village signed off on a traffic safety study with KLOA for the Northeast Quadrant only, even though you were anticipating doing a village-wide study at a cost of about $16,000. That study was produced, 200-plus page study, was produced on July 11th, 2022. The traffic analysis that was done, which included people out there surveying, a study of the accidents that occurred at the intersections, et cetera, over 200 plus pages, did not in any way support the residents' anecdotal complaints of traffic issues with respect to speed, volume, or accidents. In fact, the study found that the roads were operating as they were designed and also consistent with like roads within the village and also within the statutory recommendations. That report recommended a number of traffic calming measures to be considered by the Traffic and Safety Commission and various tools that could be used. Traffic and Safety Commission did not like that report and asked the KLOA people to go back to the drawing board and come back again to their meeting in September, and that they come back to the Traffic and Safety Commission with additional recommendations and, in fact, said, consider doing the barricades like what was done. LOA did that. They came back. They amended their report at the beginning of September prior to the meeting and provided three exhibits, A, B, and C. None of those exhibits supported putting in the barricades. In fact, they were traffic calming devices. They included putting in speed bumps, a variety of different measures. But I think what's most important is that the report said other considerations were evaluated and not recommended. They specifically included the use of the barricades that have been implemented by the village. In fact, what happened then was on September 21st, the Traffic and Safety Commission met again. KLOA presented their findings. The commission said, thank you very much. We don't agree. And then, through a spontaneous, Traffic and Safety Commission said, let's put up the barricades and see what happens. We'll just tell it to the board, we're going to make this recommendation, but let's make it, tell them, just do it on a temporary basis. So, in fact, that's what happened. The recommendation came to you. That recommendation, that I read the memo in support of it, did not advise you, and I don't know if you read or it's a 200-plus page report, but two things about that report that need to be considered. One, it did not support that there was a problem with traffic in the Northeast Quadrant. Also, it specifically recommended that we do not put in the cul-de-sacs or barricades that have been implemented. And in addition, it explained why we shouldn't do that, because it would impact the businesses who you've heard. I mean, that report told you why you shouldn't do it. Unfortunately, it came back to you with the recommendation of the Traffic and Safety Commission. I don't know, you know, the nature and extent to which you were going to delve into it. But the other problem was, anytime the Traffic and Safety Commission gets a request from someone in the village to do a minor traffic change, their own rules require, like, let's say you want to put in a stop sign. They require that the person who's presenting that get an area which they determine. 75% of the residents within this area have to sign off on a petition that supports that. Instead, what happened here? There was no notice to anyone in our area that this was even a consideration, but instead, it went to you. You should do it. No one said, we're recommending it. It's our idea. This report we got was bad. The people didn't do a good job. We don't believe them. We don't believe what they're telling us is going to happen when they implement this. I'm not sure what the thought process was, except that maybe they thought, well, we're telling the board to do it on a temporary basis, then everything would be okay. Well, as you know, everything isn't okay. There's been a huge outcry by the residents in the Northeast Quadrant who frankly, I mean, I've lived there, you know, since 1986. We've not noticed an issue like this. Having said that, I think it's really important to go back and note, number one, as we understand it now, the barricades are not temporary. They are potentially permanent. Number two, I think it's really important to note that the barricades appear to be an effort by the Traffic and Safety Commission to address the concerns of some few residents from the Northeast Quadrant who continued to come to these meetings and complain and made anecdotal complaints that they were having cut through traffic and speeding going on. And so the Traffic and Safety Commission chose to ignore that study and make a recommendation to you to go through with the barricades. We certainly don't want anyone in our village to think that that's how we do business, that a few people can come in here and complain repeatedly, and then we do the right thing and get a study, but instead of following the study, we try to address the concerns of those and are complaining the loudest. I don't think that's the message we ever want to send here. I think that the only reasonable way to address this issue is for you to remove all of the barricades that were implemented as a result of this recommendation and revert back to the traffic pattern that has been in existence for a very long period of time. And then in addition, make sure if you let's be fair, let's address these ongoing concerns. If you don't believe the results of the study of KLOA, then include the Northeast Quadrant in the village-wide study. Doesn't that make the most sense? Then in that fashion, you'll double check KLOA. They're saying that they don't believe their report. Then I think it makes sense to include the Northeast Quadrant in the study. Our understanding from the Traffic and Safety Commission meeting last month was that, in fact, and it makes sense, that the Northeast Quadrant wasn't going to be included because they had just been studied. Given everything that's transpired here, If we truly believe that there is an issue in the Northeast Quadrant, then let this Thomas Engineering firm, who we're paying another, you know, almost $100,000 to do this, let them go back and look at the numbers they got from KLOA, and let's make sure we're doing the fair thing for everybody and take it from there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lisa. Okay, Kate Byrne.
Hello, Kate Byrne here. I have been here before a couple times. I've raised my children in the neighborhood. I've been here for over 30 years. I live at 1411 Clinton Place. I'm very frustrated by the barriers. People that try to come to my house, they're frustrated by the barriers. My kids came for Easter, and they're like, how do we get to our house? So, you know, I can't go right on Clinton Place from North Avenue. I can't go left on Greenfield from Harlem. And it's very frustrating. I can't even go right on Greenfield from Harlem. So I know you guys have heard, we've all been here, and we're asking that the barriers be removed. There's no scientific basis for why the barriers were up. Certainly, we were not given any notice. And when we went to the Village Safety Committee on the 15th, they seemed to say that it was a temporary measure, and they seemed to know that it was a permanent measure. So I'm just asking that the board give consideration to what the people who live in the area and on the streets want, and that the barricades be removed.
Dave?
Good evening. Dave Westerman here. I am not going to repeat what everybody said. I'm not going to talk about the great illustration that Mr. Kemper made or any of the medical community here. I'm going to talk about one of my favorite subjects, food. Okay. And for me, it just comes down to it's difficult to get to yolk. That's basically it. I like Capri, too, but I don't go there as often, okay? And the reason I'm going to bring this up is I've had experience with Yolk, because at one time, not long ago, they had another store that was down near where I worked when I worked in Chicago. It was in the Fremont area of Lincoln Park. I don't know if you're familiar with that area, near the Whole Foods down there. And I used to joke with the people at Yolk that I could hit their place for breakfast and then I could also hit it for lunch, you know, down in Lincoln Park there. But an interesting thing happened. The one down in Fremont in Lincoln Park closed. And I asked the family, what happened to that? And they said, well, you know, I know one of the waitresses at Yolk, her name is Katerina. She said, my nephew, the owner of Yolk, he just has a formula and it just didn't make the numbers. There were two stores that closed. They didn't make the numbers. So we closed it. So my point is, I mentioned to Katerina, I said, hey, anything about the barriers going on? Taki going to come down? I don't know if he's reached out to you guys or not. I don't know. But some business owners may not reach out and open their mouths, so I'm doing it for him, okay? There's another breakfast place up in Oak Park that was there, that IHOP. There was a big A-frame. I don't know if it's still standing there or not, vacant. But this is, they closed it. I don't know if it's vacant or standing there still. But anyway, you know, after COVID, they put money into Yolk. That was kind of nice to see in a restaurant. They upgraded. So Yolk, Grandma Sally's, Aunt Sarah's, Golden Bear, as long as we can remember. It's been a breakfast place near and dear to my heart. It's tough to get to. So thanks for considering removing all that traffic.
Thanks, Dave. Jill McMahon?
Hi, Jill McMahon. I own Mincental, which is a general dental practice on the corner of North and Clinton. And I have been practicing in River Forest for just over 12 years. I am opposed to the barriers that have been put in place at Clinton and Bonnie Bray. I have really felt the negative impact that those barriers have had on my practice just in the short time period that they've gone up. It's exceedingly difficult for my existing patients to get to their appointments. And I don't just serve River Forest. I have patients that are coming from many of the surrounding communities. And so, you know, it's hindered my ability to also retain new patients because, you know, they come for that first visit and it's really difficult. So even if we are giving them everything that they might want in a dental practice, they don't, you know, it can be very, that certainly can factor in. And we are getting complaints nearly every day about how difficult it is to get to our office. Whereas before, we, on a very frequent basis, got comments about how excited patients were about how easy it was to get to our location. We moved about 6 years ago from Lake Street to North Avenue, and we were, you know, everyone was just so excited that it was just such an easy place to get to, easy to park, easy to find, all of that. And those comments have completely evaporated. I do not believe that the cul-de-sacs, full or partial, are the solution that's needed to address the speeding that's on these village streets. Just as, you know, was already discussed, that report predicted that they would have a negative impact on the businesses, and they certainly have. And they're redirecting traffic in ways that are not desirable. Almost all of our patients coming from outside of River Forest have to now use William, either from Division or from North Avenue to get to us. So that has, you know, just one more source of traffic that's going onto that roadway. I don't think increasing the number of the cars on the street that was identified in KLOA's report as the one that has the highest speeding and, you know, highest amount of speeding is really the way to solve the issue. Additionally, you know, as we've mentioned, we're seeing a lot of traffic on the alley, and it's presenting quite a problem. I think, you know, I'm not sure if anybody has really talked about, you know, I agree that I don't think that there is necessarily a problem, but if we want to utilize some traffic calming measures, one of the suggestions that was presented by KLOA was to change the on-street parking restrictions on the west side of Bonnie Bray, Clinton, William, and Monroe between North and Lemoyne to allow for parking on both the east and the west side of the street. And I think that that could have a benefit for both the businesses and for the residents, because it's by having cars parked there, you're going to have a narrower, you know, roadway for cars to be traveling down. So that's naturally going to slow down the traffic. But in addition, the cars that are parking on those streets for the North Avenue businesses are going to stay closer to the North Avenue businesses and less so into the neighborhood where maybe they're not as, you know, welcome. I think we should consider that as a solution to this issue. Additionally, I'm in favor of the proposed modification of Lemoyne and Greenfield that came up at the last meeting. I think it's a fair compromise, and I think, you know, obviously there are, you know, we're not really hearing a lot of people that are on the opposite side tonight. Actually, nobody that's on the opposite side yet tonight, but certainly there is a lot of division there. And I think, you know, I think there should be a compromise rather than it being all one way or the other, you know. Frank?
Good evening. I'm Frank Libby. I'm at William and Greenfield. Been there for about 25 years. I'm also in opposition to the cul-de-sacs and the barricades. I think it's just going to shuffle traffic around, and I think we've heard it's been moving to the alleyways, and it's frustrating drivers, and frustrated drivers tend to eat as well. So I don't think it's solving any of the problem. It's not clear that there was a problem to begin with, and I think there are other ways, less expensive ways, to deal with this rather than putting in permanent cul-de-sacs and permanent holes. Thought through and listen to the report.
See, Dr. Boyd.
I really appreciate it. And you guys have been terrific. Not going to spend a lot of time because I've already not in support of the barriers. I believe that as a board, you see that there is more than a little bit of us that have concerns regarding businesses, both as someone who's lived here forever and also that owns a business. And was drawn here specifically because it was easy to get to, as Chelle said, it was easy to work. And I will echo her comments. Last 6 years, nothing but, this is so awesome, it's so easy, we can part. And now it's not often, it's every day. It's 2 to 3 times a day. Like, what is going on here? This is like, guy John Plesbert, who was the deputy commissioner that rebuilt the international airport at O'Hare was in today, is like, I almost got hit 3 times just parking in front of your office because of the fact that people come in, they can't figure it out. You know, backing back on North Avenue, yeah, we've seen that as well. You know, we're all playing in the same sandbox, you know, and we all get along well. My mom taught me at an early age, pick up your toys, you know, be nice to the people in the sandbox, and everything works out well. And we respect the work you've done. We respect the fact that the board stayed here until almost 10:30 at night, Traffic Safety Committee, to hear us. We really only litigated one issue. That was sort of the Harlem Avenue corridor and Lemoyne and Greenfield. Life is about compromise. It has to win for everybody or it wins for nobody. So I think it is fair, the compromises they put forward. I would encourage you to consider them strongly. And we hope that they have the open ear that they did to us a month ago. I hope we had that same open ear when we talked to them about, you know, Clinton and Bonnie Bray potentially, and rethinking it, restructuring it. That's all I have to say, and I thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Georgia? Later? All right, very good. All right, and do we have Phyllis on the line? She's our last and final public comment. I don't know, Phyllis, if you're still on Zoom. Phyllis, you're on mute. Hi, Phyllis.
Hi. Takes my computer a while. Hi. So I have three things to talk to you about. And I want to tell you, I just listened to all these comments and I have driven past those barricades. First of all, they're ugly. They're bright yellow. They say, look at me, I'm barricading River Forest. And anyway, I'm with all of you residents up there who have to go way out of your way to get home and the businesses. Okay, so that's one thing. The second thing is I'll tell you, I'll give you a report on Lake and Lathrop. There was actually, I know I sent a letter to all of you last week that nothing had been done. Nobody, we hadn't seen anybody for over a week, but there was somebody there today, one person delivering something he said was for plumbing. The fencing is starting to fall apart. The fabric and one of my neighbors reported, I went to look at it and on Ashland where the fencing comes right up to the sidewalk, they're concerned that there's a space, I think it's actually by the house that's right next to my condo. There's a space at the bottom of the fencing that they said a small child could actually slip through and fall into the hole of the site. I think it's a little bit of a stretch. Somebody would really not have to be paying attention for that to happen, but you might want to go take a look at that and see if it really looks safe or not. So that's Lake and Lathrop. And the other thing I know I asked you about, and I just texted Susan Charette about businesses can't get composting service from Lakeshore Recycling. You have a number of churches here. I guess none of them can get composting from this. And I'm wondering why that happened and what we can do about it, if anything. anyway, if you could help. She sent me to somebody in the village, one of the village apartments. She told me to go to who? Seth Jansen. So I'll try him, but I want to let you know about this too. Okay?
We'll follow up on that.
Thank you.
We'll follow up. Yeah. Sorry, Phyllis, you did bring that up last time. We'll get you an answer.
Well, I thought that when I said this a month or so ago, we thought that there was a form to sign up on the website. So we signed up and then we wait a couple months to get it started and we find out they won't do it.
Get an answer one way or the other.
Okay.
That concludes the public comment. So for those that, I mean, you could stay because we will talk more about this in the probably within the next 10 minutes, 15 minutes. So please stay so we can have a little bit more conversation around the traffic and safety. Did you want to? I know you came late. Yeah, okay. All right, so we'll wait to make comments until we get to that point. So we'll go ahead and get to the elected officials' comments and announcements. So we'll start with, maybe if you don't mind, Trustee Bachner.
I'd like to begin with a land acknowledgement. So as we begin, we are mindful that we hold these meetings on land that was once and still inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, the Chippewa, Menominee, Potawatomi nations, and more. We will remember our nation's history and honor the Native people, stewards of this land that was colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather. Happy belated Easter and Passover to everyone. I hope everyone had a happy holiday. Not too much to report this week. I was invited to be a juror by Dominican University and the Black Metropolis Research Consortium, who is a group of libraries, museums, and educational organizations to judge a high school essay contest in relation to the work of Timuel Black, a Chicago educator, activist, and historian. And very, very interesting essays. And a lot of it was around the work that these young people were doing that connected to the philosophy of Timuel. I was very happy to be a part of that. I think that's it for me.
Great. Erica. Phyllis?
Sure, I have two things. First, it's Earth Month, so happy Earth Month. On the 22nd of April, Saturday, there are two events, the Des Plaines River Cleanup, and plus there is the third annual bike exchange. The bike exchange was started by a resident that just thought it was a good thing to do. It has gotten momentum. I think it's a great event. So clean up, actually register with the park district to clean up the Thatcher Woods and then go exchange your bike. The other thing I'd like to do is to wish Harriet Hausman a happy 99th birthday. Her big day was on Saturday, April 8th. For those of you that don't know Harriet, she is a long-term resident in our village, and she has done many great things, including she wrote a book about our village. But if you look on Amazon, you might be able to get a copy. I don't think it's any longer in print. Secondly, she is, I believe, still the oldest continually published newspaper columnist in the United States. She does that for the Wednesday Journal every week. And she used to write it out by longhand, but then her daughter now helps to type it to make it easier for the newspaper. So happy birthday to Harriet, and we wish her many more years to come.
Just good evening, everyone. I'm going to defer my comments for the next meeting. It looks like we already had a number of residents who've been here for a number of meetings, so we'll just get on to it.
Just a couple of things. I'll make it brief. Attended the Truth Racial Healing Transformation Gathering with Trustee Bachner this last couple of weeks. And I wanted to follow up on Phyllis's comments about the situation at Lake and Lathrop. I did take a look at the village webpage and saw that dated on March 3rd, and it looks like, according to the timeline from the developer, the detention system construction was supposed to have been finished by mid-March. I don't know that it's been finished. Do we know?
No, the detention system is not finished. The developer has submitted some revised plans just specific to the detention system, and we've exchanged some comments on those plans back to them in terms of their other updates. We have requested them.
Yeah, and I'll just note that that mid-March date was already a delay of a delay. So, again, reiterating, it would be great if the developer would come to our meetings so that we could actually have face-to-face conversation with them so that they could hear our questions and our residents' concerns, and we could hear their answers, and we could have better informed discussion. So you're continuing to ask. And then lastly, following up on Sheila's comments about the planning for the village's Juneteenth flag raising, we are excited about the plans this year. They're coming together really nicely. I'm glad that Sheila shared the date, June 12th, 11 to 12, at the library, which is our partner in this project. We're working with a consultant from the Illinois Juneteenth Committee and National Juneteenth Foundation. And so stay tuned, and if you want any more information, please reach out to me or to Sheila. Thank you. Okay. Oh, and we will follow up with you with the budget. Thank you, Matt.
Okay, Trustee Johnson.
I will also defer my comments, just other than to wish everyone a happy holidays. I've been traveling, so I don't have much to update either way. So I just appreciate being here, and I appreciate all the residents' comments regarding the traffic study issues.
I attended the EDC meeting last week. The topic on the agenda was the work that was started during our comprehensive plan of 21, I believe. And so this is an ongoing conversation, not something that is imminent, as was erroneously reported. So residents came out, they talked about it. John Housiel, our planning consultant, did a nice job of showing various blocking of what development along Madison Street could look like. And again, to repeat, these are all just kind of samples of what may or may not happen. And really, until we get a plan for something put in front of us, we really can't do all of the steps and due diligence necessary to understand the impact on the community. I think Matt could give an update, but I think we're underway with the demolition of Lutheran Family Services.
So the asbestos abatement, the assumed asbestos abatement work began last Monday. They're making great progress on that work. I talked to our project manager this afternoon on that. They've finished the work on the two western addresses. It's a very complicated interchange building, so that asbestos abatement should be completed by the end of this week, and then the demolition work will follow shortly after. We want to wait until we have full confirmation that the abatement work is completed and the final report in hand before that demolition starts. So we expect that to be over the next few weeks.
And just by experience, you know, our opportunity having a vacant site versus a building where it gives us a lot more opportunities to talk to a lot of different developers and people who might be interested in buying that property. So I'm really excited about the fact that building is coming down, because we have not had any fights on anybody who wants it. And then I think there are great comments from residents who really want to be involved in it, and I appreciate that, to kind of understand and help us as we go through the process. Once we do start getting some interest on the property and helping to determine what the future is that might look like. And then there was just one other comment that was made that I'm just going to throw out there to ask the question. We've spent a lot of money on planters around the village, and it was highlighted that especially in some of those in the middle of Madison Street, where people are finding them to be difficult number one, but also unsightly in terms of maintenance. And as we head into the spring season, is there a plan for us to, you know, kind of beautify our neighborhood with those planters, and whose responsibility is that? So, but it was an interesting meeting. A lot of residents engaged, and again, I really appreciate them coming out and spending time with the EDC and Chairman Kyler Broad and his efforts. So yeah, that was my comment. Good.
So we have a shared agreement with Forest Park to maintain those beds. So that's certainly something we can look into. Don't know where we're at in the process of spring cleanup. I mean, I know Brian, our superintendent of operations, just issued a scope of work for proposals for all of the village beds along Lake Street and everything else that we have here more internally. I would have to reach out to Forest Park. I believe McAdam does that on behalf of both villages. And I'd have to reach out to Sal, the director down there, to see what stage of the process we're at seasonally, but certainly can do that.
So, yeah, thank you, Bob, for bringing this up. And Jeff, maybe that should be on our regular to-do list. I think those beds have been in this for a while. And so it should be something we should have an IGA agreement with. And if we do, we should now make sure that it happens.
Sure. And I don't want to give the impression that we've been ignoring it since they went in or anything like that. There is an annual program that's down there. I just don't know at what point, like I said, we do spring cleanup on our beds. I don't know off the top of my head when McAdam comes in and does spring cleanup for those medians.
Okay.
But that's certainly something I
could look at. So could I just add, so when we, after we get through the summer season into the fall season, there were several businesses along Lake Street that asked about that we do something more seasonal for the beds that we have along Lake Street to, again, generate some activity for the businesses. So put that on your list, Jeff. Thank
you. And we did increase the budget for those, the maintenance of those beds this year for that exact reason.
Thank you, because I know those businesses appreciate it. Okay, so yeah, just to again, to make it brief, a few things. For Harriet Hausman, we are going to pass a proclamation and resolution congratulating her on her 99th birthday and her achievement, her writing capability and her achievement here in River Forest. I do encourage people to buy her book. It's pretty cool. So next meeting, if you're here, we'll get maybe a bit to meet Barbara, her daughter. She will come, and we're also commissioning a painting for her through the fire department, so you'll see her picture along the Central Avenue here again as a way to celebrate Harriet. She's a gem in River Forest, so we love her. Second thing is I attended on behalf of the Illinois Municipal League as president a D.C. and went to Washington, D.C. with about 20 other mayors throughout Illinois. And we visited with both of our senators, Senator Durbin, Senator Duckworth, as well as a handful of our federal legislators in Illinois. Of course, all going out there with our hands open for some federal money. And the good news is that they have it. Like the state, they've got money in their budget, and so does the federal government. They passed a significant trillion-dollar budget for infrastructure. And now it's all about us here in Illinois to make sure that we get it in Illinois, and specifically hopefully here in our region in River Forest. And I know we've been successful in the past with the Rebuild Illinois, even though that's Illinois, not federal funds, but that was nearly $1 million. So right for just us here in River Forest. So it does make a difference when you have a phone call or at least a meeting with these legislators. They do like it, and you want to be heard, you got to be seen. So much like all of you here, we have to do that as well to get funds from the state and federal government. That's all I have to report on mine. So we'll go ahead and move to a public hearing that we have to do statutorily to open up the 2024 village operating budget. We'll allow anybody in the audience to make a comment, but I'd like a motion for, I guess, open up the public.
Yeah, we don't need to open up the motion.
It up, right.
So the fiscal year 2024 budget was presented earlier this evening at our committee of the whole meeting.
Pursuant to state law, the village is required to hold a public hearing on its annual budget prior to its adoption. This notice was published on March 29, 2023, and the budget was available on the village website and at Village Hall for review. The notice must be published a week in advance of the meeting, so I invite at this time any public to make comments specific to the budget as part of the public hearing, and then the village board will consider approval of that budget at the next meeting, April 24th.
Oh, is there anybody in the audience that'd like to make a comment? Yeah, please come to the...
Because looking at the budget, I saw that $300,000 have been budgeted for the cul-de-sac. So they have been budgeted, it's not clear to me, or they are considered to be budgeted. And if they are funding, then they will occur. So can you please clarify this point?
Sure. So the budget document does have $300,000 for approval of any implementations for traffic studies, not only the Northeast study, but potentially ones that may come out of the village-wide traffic study. Just because the amount is necessarily in the budget doesn't mean that it will happen. There are board actions that are required for implementation and approval. Anything above $20,000 would require board action because that's our village purchasing policy. So there's every year there's a lot of projects and initiatives in the budget. We try to be conservative about the amounts we put in there so that we have enough to do anything that the village board wants to do. That doesn't mean that it's necessarily going to happen.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Doctor, can you come just so it's recorded. Yeah, just if you can come to the podium so that people can hear you on the... Yes, it's official. No worries.
Okay, this time it
yep.
will be
sure.
My question is, who does this study for the budget? Like in this case, pinpointing the barriers and so. If we think, okay, I am not an economist, but to think about $300,000 for barriers or cul-de-sacs or the bump against the speeds and so, that is a lot of money. But my question is, do you have a special committee of economics or who suggests these numbers?
Yeah, go ahead.
So the... $165,000 was the estimate from our public works staff on the cost of implementing what you all see out there with the plastic barriers to make those permanent. So that was based on us looking at rate amounts for the construction and estimates that
Excuse
we had.
Excuse me
for
to interrupt you, but permanent means cement, stones, or what?
Correct. That would be extending the curb to make it a cul-de-sac. Any landscaping that would be in required as that.
Well, okay, you clarified that the $300 is just a number, right?
Yeah,
correct. It could be well under that. And a lot
but
of that
could
is
be,
just,
it could be under.
It could be 50,000 or something. But, well, could be zero. That's
could
where we
zero.
Have the question.
That's,
okay,
that's
thank you very much.
Yeah.
But Matt, I think there's a bigger question there that I think is the budget is created by your team. So that's what we're doing is we have highly paid professionals who analyze the work that they do,
so.
And they do their due diligence to come up with the budget for the year. So it's professionally done by our staff who are great. Thank you.
Yeah.
And award-winning.
And what? And award-winning, right.
Award-winning.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is, and in this particular case, Public Works,
yeah.
You know, they know these costs that are associated with it. So. Which kind of addresses the person that had the barrier. That again, they're ugly, which is true, but they're temporary in nature. So, okay. Any other comments from the public? So, hearing them, we'll go ahead and take a motion to close the public hearing.
Move to close the public hearing.
Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Johnson?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
So we've got the consent agenda here. We would like to approve the consent agenda items A through O.
Make a motion to approve.
Can we pull H, please? 6H?
No problem.
Okay.
Make a motion to approve consent agenda items A through G and I through O.
Trustee, questions or comments regarding those items on the consent agenda? Hearing none, I'll ask the deputy clerk to please read the consent agenda and then take the vote.
A, Village Board of Trustees meeting minutes, March 13th, 2023. B, Village Board of Trustees executive session minutes, March 13th, 2023. C, accounts payable, March 2023, $1,455,557.88. D, financial report, March 2023. E, budget amendment for library fiscal year 2023 and ordinance. F, budget amendment for village fiscal year 2023 and ordinance. G, an intergovernmental agreement between IDOT for traffic signal maintenance. I, an intergovernmental agreement with MWRD for grant funding related to green alleys. J, a LAMA subscription renewal, Davenport Group USA. K, annual contract renewal with Safebuilt Illinois LLC. L, a right-of-way encroachment waiver, an agreement for an irrigation system in the public right-of-way with the property owners at 921 Keystone. M, ordinance violation software licensing agreement, Docra Tech Systems, LLC. N, administration department report. And O, monthly department reports for the month of March. Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
And Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Now, if I can get a motion and a second for item H.
Move to approve the motor fuel tax resolution of 2023, maintenance of streets and highways.
Okay. I pulled it because I think the amount that's being appropriated as 600,000, but that's not reflected in the written portion of the resolution that says 550,000. Just to make sure that we make the two match up.
You are correct. Just to clarify, the correct amount is 600,000.
Okay, thanks.
Any other further questions regarding that item? Hearing none, I'd ask to please read the consent agenda item and then take the vote.
Yeah, we do. Item H, motor fuel tax resolution, 2023 maintenance of streets and highways. Johnson?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
And Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Okay, so the item seven, we have no items on six. So seven is the recommendations of boards, commissions, and committees. If I can have a motion and a second, then we'll, of course, discuss it.
Okay, then I move to accept the recommendations of the Traffic and Safety Commission and to approve ordinances modifying the barricades at the intersections of Lemoyne and Harlem and Greenfield and Harlem to allow southbound traffic on Harlem Avenue to turn westbound onto Lemoyne and Greenfield streets while still allowing eastbound traffic on Lemoyne and Greenfield streets to turn southbound onto Harlem Avenue with signage to be updated accordingly.
All right, so Jeff, if you can go through it and then we'll discuss.
Sure. So I'll quickly walk through the process here. As everyone's aware, there has been some modifications made to the traffic patterns up in the northeast corner of the village subsequent to a traffic study that was recently completed. Staff has received a significant amount of resident feedback on those modifications since they've been installed, and at the direction of the village board, the issue was remanded back to the Traffic Safety Commission for discussion at their March 15th meeting. As a result of that discussion, the commission has made recommendations to modify the at Lemoyne and Greenfield with their respective intersections at Harlem Avenue. What was previously a right out only for eastbound traffic onto southbound Harlem Avenue is now recommended as a quote unquote right in, right out. So now you will be able to enter River Forest from southbound Harlem. You'd be able to turn onto westbound Lemoyne and westbound Greenfield. The commission is also recommending that these modifications be considered temporary pending the results of the village-wide traffic study. We have held off three of the remaining location counts of the village-wide study. We've held off three locations to study traffic on Monroe, William, and Division in hopes of capturing any impacts that these implementations have caused. And pending the full analysis of the survey feedback, there could possibly be more up there. We don't quite know yet. As I said, the commission is also recommending that these modifications be considered temporary until such information is known from the village-wide study. And with that said, I believe Interim Administrator Walsh has some other information that he'd like to share with the board at this time.
Sure. So I just wanted to provide a brief, we don't have to discuss at this moment, but there's also a policy statement included in the packet as a separate action for the village board.
Right.
I just wanted, so we can take these separately. I guess that would be up to.
Well, I think we should take them separately, but
sure.
Just for the purpose of clarity, there's two issues. One, we want to take the commission's recommendation, and then we want to fix, not that it will fix issues that we have here, but any of some of the policies that go around or go along. I think we've heard some of the residents say, well, I didn't know about it because our policy was within 500 feet. And so mm-hmm. the new policy will extend that to a greater amount of both businesses and residents. And so although that will address some of the issues, it really is the purpose of addressing an issue at large. So I'd like to keep them separate.
Okay.
And we'll go ahead and vote on this, and then we can discuss the policy. Yeah.
So with that said, happy to answer any questions anyone has about the March 15th discussion.
Can I ask a question? And it's not related to the motion I just made, but was there any discussion from the Traffic Safety Commission on the North Avenue?
No.
No. Okay. Are they going to take it up sometime in the future?
Intent. And
well, you should go through that because I think
okay.
it's
sure.
fair to make sure that our
yeah.
residents know too. So. It's
sure,
a
I can address that.
Of all of this,
okay.
which I think was discussed at the commission.
It was, and that's part of what Matt was going
to. So
okay.
I'll just touch on.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
So the Traffic and Safety Commission, there was a couple dozen residents that spoke. So the meeting went quite long, as was mentioned earlier. So the Traffic and Safety Commission wanted to address kind of what was the most controversial in the room. Everyone seemed to want to find some compromise in the Harlem. Limitations were those items. So they had just recommended to address that, and then they had stated that they wanted to discuss the other barriers and any potential complementary measures at a future meeting.
Explain the future meeting to everyone so they have an idea. The next meeting they're going to discuss.
Correct. Yes. So the Traffic and Safety Commission meets every other month. Their next meeting is scheduled in May. I don't know the exact date.
Third Wednesday of each month,
and potentially July if they're not able to address. There's a lot of issues at hand. We want to do due diligence this time around. There's been a lot of input, new information based on what has happened, some of the Traffic and Safety Commissioners felt that the plastic barriers had not been out there long enough to give an opinion on those. They didn't feel that for the two Harlem implementations that is before the board tonight, but there was some comments from commissioners to that effect, so they weren't necessarily comfortable making a recommendation on that at that time.
There's also going to be some additional context with we just closed the survey from the village-wide study,
sure.
And we had a couple questions in there relative to these modifications. There were a total of, I think, 980 some responses that we got to that survey. So it's going to take Thomas Engineering a little while to pour over that data and provide that into a digestible context for the commission. But that would be part of the context that they didn't have at March 15th. They will have at their May meeting.
That was my question. Is Thomas Engineering going to be working at looking at the data with the barricades at
As we talked, we talked about reserving. There are so many counts based on the scope of work that was requested and proposed. We can take a look at so many locations in terms of traffic speeds and traffic counts throughout the entire village. Knowing that there are some issues up in the northeast corner of the village-wide study, we've reserved three of those counts to be placed on somewhere on Monroe, Division, and William as right. part of the village-wide study. And again, the survey responses might that we need more up there, but we will at least have three to hopefully capture any adverse impacts that are caused by the presence of those barricades.
Okay. So I just want to make sure that I'm reading this correctly. So the commission voted 4-1 to recommend modifications to the barriers at Harlem, Lemoyne, Harlem, and Greenfield to allow right-in access for southbound Harlem traffic. The commission also agreed to share their intent that the measures remain temporary. Those at Lemoyne and Greenfield, is that what that's referred to?
They were referring to their recommendations relative to the northeast corner of town and the study. So when they said that, they were clarifying that they're going back to their initial recommendations as well. They want to see feedback from the village-wide study before they recommend anything be permanent.
Could I just ask that for the record that just be spelled out, that everybody understands, so it's in the public record, that we're going to make this adjustment, and we're going to the point that was just made, and then we're going to leave the barriers on Bonnie Bray and Clinton alone for right now until the village-wide study is done?
Yeah, that was what the commission
okay.
said, right?
Okay,
Right.
And then,
but they also talked about taking that up as part of their next discussion in May and July.
No, I understand, but as of today, because there's so from a chronology standpoint, there's been a lot of conversation about the chronology of this, and I just want to make sure that we're continuing to track this as we go along.
Right.
Another question about the barricades. So, what will it look like on Greenfield and Lemoyne if we decide to go with a temporary measure? For right in, or right out, left in.
So what's recommended this evening?
You know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
So
we know.
Imagine, pulling out of Walgreens onto Lake Street. There's kind of a, you can get out, but only go eastbound, and only eastbound traffic can get into that parking lot, or Panera.
Are we going to be able to do that effectively with those barricades? Are they going to be able to make that turn?
We're going to have to kind of try to turn that into a triangle effectively. I tried to make a real quick and dirty exhibit for the packet this evening. It's effectively going to be a triangle that will let traffic out and let traffic in.
Mm-hmm.
The concern is that we've had, frankly, some vehicles heading westbound in oncoming traffic lane. So when we start to open up a legitimate lane for somebody to head westbound, I have some concerns that maybe we get cross traffic from the east side of Harlem Avenue, but that is the recommendation. So we're going to have to open that up to some traffic. And if we can do it with the curb, those barricades are only so big, we'll be able to figure something out, but it's going to have to let traffic in for westbound to some degree.
One of the things I'm noticing, because I do live in that area, it does seem like the signage on Harlem going southbound is not effective enough. Like there's not, I think it needs to be further down, further north on Harlem, so that people can see that it's.
At this point, there will be no signage for Harlem, southbound Harlem Avenue, because southbound Harlem Avenue will be able to turn right or continue southbound. So the signage that we had that was no right turn will now be removed.
Right.
So there will be no signage for southbound. So we tried to kind of spell that out. The arrows show which direction the signs will be facing.
I would just want to say I support these motions. It makes sense. And then second, I wanted to understand, it had been my understanding that the whole village traffic study was going to include the northeast quadrant of town, and that's one of the reasons why when we voted for these changes, I thought we were voting to make them temporary, partially because we wanted to have then the results of the village-wide traffic study, the benefit of that to just help us decide whether they should be permanent or not. But one of the residents tonight said that they did not think that the northeast water was included in the village-wide traffic study. Can you address that?
Sure. So, kind of waffled, for lack of a better term. Originally, the discussion started with, hey, there are concerns about the northeast corner of town. So we started to talk about, well, let's do this comprehensively. Let's do a village-wide study. But we don't want to wait because we don't have that budgeted, and that's a significant thing. So let's not wait for the entire village-wide study to be done. Let's do a separate northeast study so that we when we issued, up to several months later, we budgeted for the village-wide study, and we're now in a new fiscal year. Now we're reissuing an RFP for a village-wide study. We've not included the northeast corner because we're still in the middle of actually doing that study at the time. So at the time we kind of started down these paths, there was no reason to include the northeast corner in the village-wide study. It was already being studied. Once the recommendations started coming out of the northeast study, I kept tacking on qualifiers going, well, let's do this, but let's also try to measure those impacts as part of the village-wide study. We are still doing that. As I've said, we're going to hold at least three counts for this area to make sure we can try to identify any of those adverse impacts. But we're not going back and doing a full-fledged study of the entirety of this area. That was never the plan, as far as I recall. But we are still going to try to capture anything.
Right. Any further questions? I think. All right. Hearing no other questions, we'll go ahead and take the vote on this motion.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
And Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Okay. Good. And then let's move to the village board policy statement on the northeast traffic measures. And this is just to kind of button up, if you will, some of the issues and concerns I think the residents have made, rightly so, on some of their questions. And that is, you know, I didn't know and wasn't aware. And so this is try to address some of the issues. So I don't know. So if I can get a motion in a second, then we can discuss it in more detail.
Second.
Thank you. So I don't know, Jeff, you want to, yeah, go ahead.
I'll take this one.
Okay.
So this policy statement was kind of devised after attending the Traffic Safety Commission meeting in March. Wanted to kind of bring forward a larger discussion to the village board just to provide some direction as to where we are going, some specific questions to go back to the Traffic Safety Commission, and some policy improvements that have come as this learning experience over the past few months have come across. So the policy statement, the first point is to kind of direct any of these requests to the Traffic Safety Commission. This is the commission that has spent the most time analyzing these topics. This is where the study has been presented. So it's appropriate that they take the time to do it when the village board has a lot of other business to take care of. That's how a lot of our other functions work. The village board after takes the recommendations from the Zoning Board of Appeals or anything else. So that is the direction to bring any of these requests directly to the Traffic and Safety Commission, which is how it worked back in March. The second is just to state that any modifications to these traffic barriers do ultimately require Village Board ordinance in action, because they are changes to our traffic code and our traffic control, because there's changes to one-way direction or signage, so it requires village board action. Then this third, Director Loster had kind of addressed the formally direct staff and Thomas Engineering to collect data from those adjacent streets to the ones that have been blocked. That was Division, Monroe, and William. That had kind of come up with the Traffic Safety Commission and even tonight. So we wanted to just kind of put that in writing that there would be intent to do that. So three of those controls will be placed there for analysis in the next few weeks or months. Number four is just a list of specific questions. A lot of them are kind of obvious given the discussion. It's just kind of something for the Traffic and Safety Commission to deliberate on, kind of an outline for them to discuss.
Right. And let me just add, I mean, if you, this is in the packet. So if you all want, and the residents go back, I think this is addressing a lot of the concerns that you've brought up to try to get to a right answer. And frankly, that's what we're trying to get to. And so the questions that are asked in here, I think, give us the ability to you know, continue to work through the issues that you have as in your concerns. And this gives us the kind of the protocol to do it. And so that's why we want to approve this policy, because this gives us clear direction. It gives the staff clear direction on how we're going to get through these issues and get to a, hopefully a resolution that's good for everybody. I mean, I don't know how that's going to work, but we're hoping that it gets to a point where it's that doctor is somewhere in between. So, so anyway, that's what this policy is. I think it's a written. Go ahead.
I have one question.
Yeah.
And I understand number two, modifications of the current traffic areas of the village board.
Yep.
We're talking about modifications that were discussed by the Traffic and Safety Commission. It's not new modifications that people want to bring to us that weren't discussed with the Traffic and Safety Commission, right?
Correct.
So I just think we ought to make that clear. All modifications that were discussed by the Traffic and Safety Commission.
That's a great catch.
Okay.
Sure. We want to make sure that.
Sure.
Because it really is set
sure.
in number one. But
right.
you're right. It doesn't.
Right.
Then just on section B, it was separated just because it's more of a, it's not specific to the Northeast traffic study. It was the discussion that about public notice for similar implementations. It was mentioned earlier that the Traffic Safety Commission's practice has been notification of a block, and that is based in that most of the changes that we've made are based on stop signs or parking, so those were appropriate measures for that. And in this case, in feedback from the village board and residents, this is kind of a statement to expand that radius of notification to 1,000 feet from a location for blocking a street. 1,000 feet is higher than most other code radii, 500 feet, but that barely gets much past a block in town. So 1,000 feet was deemed to be to kind of capture the neighborhood for similar actions like this. So this will be in place for when, if there are any similar modifications recommended from the village-wide traffic study or the Traffic and Safety Commission after that. Correct. So,
right. I think
in this, it mentions that this would be before the village board would
yeah.
adopt
so,
that
so
change.
So it's the same. Right, Lisa. Same thing. Right. Okay.
It'll be similar to a zoning notice.
Yeah. So let us finish. If you want to come to the podium, because people who want to hear this
yeah.
can't hear the questions. So if you, I mean, I'm happy to take your questions.
Right.
You
including Trustee Johnson. Can't
oh,
hear.
I'm sorry. I didn't see you.
He can't hear you. When
yeah,
you're
oh, yeah.
speaking
so Ken
from the
can't
audience.
Hear you from, oh, I thought he had a question.
Yeah.
So if you want to, I'd be allowed to take the podium.
Yeah.
No, okay. All right.
One response, there was a question about informing business owners. So, yes, the intent here, and it mentions that it would be residential or commercial.
Right.
So the other part that you have there is, if a business doesn't own the building, it's going to go to the landlord and not, and it's going to be income. Well, I'm just.
Yeah, yeah,
I
no,
just,
a good point, but that's.
I mean, incumbent upon the tenant, the landlord, to make sure the tenant understands. Just in those
correct.
Cases where we have that situation.
Yeah,
correct.
No.
Which is how zoning notices
are. Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
In terms of the 1,000, the mailing, there's no time or estimated time when it's mailed. Is it mailed a month before the meeting? Is it mailed? I guess because that's the other thing I've heard people is like, if you mail it a week before, I may not be around.
Right.
So
What's it normally?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
What's it normally?
What is it?
Some of these are tricky. I'll offer, you know, the stop signs, the parking restrictions, those are easy because those are up for discussion. Those are planned discussion.
Yeah.
When you get into a study like this, it gets a little tricky because part of the study may not make a particular recommendation, and through the course of discussion, the commission might be something that just naturally comes out of the conversation. Well, that just happens live during the conversation. So if that's a recommendation that was made, staff would then be in a position to have to notify the impacted people ahead of a board meeting potentially, unless those are remanded back to traffic and safety for a more fleshed out conversation.
So what Jeff's talking about comes up in zoning all the time, and it's where you give the notice that you give. Although zoning is more jurisdictional, it's more strict because it's statutorily prescribed. But it deals with when you give a zoning notice, you want it to be broad enough because, as Jeff pointed out, sometimes there's a give and take in the zoning process, whether it's a variation or whether it's a development of some kind. And the ultimate development that goes in may be significantly different from the original proposal. So you want the notice to be broad enough so a member of the public can expect that this could have included what this looks like today. And that's a judgment call when it comes to the – none of this notice stuff is legally required. This is legislation. The board doesn't need to send it to the commission, doesn't need to do anything. This is all being done in an effort to provide more openness and notice. So none of it's required. It'll be a judgment call as to whether should we send this back to traffic to get more input, or is this a fair way to deal with it right now? It'll be a give and take.
Does it make sense to include a point that either maybe it's more for the Traffic and Safety Commission that they consider what the timing should be and have that be a recommendation by them or with village staff
and the timing?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, or even
so one thing I was going to add just for comparison purposes, the zoning period is typically 15 days. Again, not required. I'm just saying that's what's typically considered appropriately, and you don't want it to be more than either, because then it's
right. Put it in a little context too. We've got the village-wide study coming up, and so there will be a report completed at one point that will go to the commission for discussion. May or may not be specific recommendations within that report that would warrant sending notifications out, right? Maybe cul-de-sac on Madison or something like that, or Satch or Harlan, whatever. But through the course of that initial conversation, those recommendations might drastically change. So at what point would
just said is whatever is being considered on the vote, they should have a notice to the residents.
Otherwise, we should have it either at our table or the Traffic and Safety Commission table, have a discussion of what that looks like.
Yeah, but it should be something that's being considered as a.
Then for new recommendations that come up just organically in the course of conversation, would you all like to see that remanded back with a proper notification period back to Traffic and Safety before it came to you all?
If it's a significant.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I would also add, and I know it's not here, but just putting it on our website or something, or our newsletter, if we can.
We do as many e-news as monthly newsletters. Okay. We did a project page on our website for this. We certainly try.
We would do all of that but this is another focus.
I agree.
Something else that I think might be good for consideration under Section B is when we gave the information about this being changed, one of the things that we didn't do was offer what we consider were the alternative routes for people. I think maybe for businesses especially, if we had provided that information to them, they may have been able to give that to up front instead of them trying to figure out what would be the best, and they could at least take that.
Do you mean for the notice, like before consideration?
Be done in general. sometimes there's a change.
Okay. I'd like to just clarify my understanding of the point number two in the policy statement. That just for clarity, any action to make current temporary traffic installations in this northeast section of town permanent would require village board action by vote. One of the things that that number two says.
I think it says any modifications that, and as Rez recommended, any modifications recommended by the commission, current traffic barriers.
Well, any.
Trustee Bennett, I think if the question is asking the Traffic and Safety Commission if they do recommend the permanent installation, and to Trustee Vasquez's point, that would be a recommendation from the commission back to the village board, and it would be approved as such, in addition to likely amounts that would be exceed village staff spending authority.
Okay. To make them permanent, it would have to come back to our village board, and we would have to be voting on that specifically.
Correct.
So with the change that Trustee Vasquez asked for, and I think modifications coming from the commission. And I mean, we can add something. I mean, the businesses, but I think that should be a rule regardless.
I think Trustee Bacher seeking some type of alternate routes or kind of
maybe that should be an app. Or somewhere up here on the modifications. What alternate?
Yep, we could.
Yeah. I mean, in general.
If it's general, then this is just specific to Northeast.
This is specific.
Yeah,
to
so we could add any changes
in
to general direction. So in addition to the commission, any modifications of the commission, and any general direction. Those are good changes. Yeah, one question.
I would just like to say that I don't think the issue is that we didn't know how to explain to people an alternate route. It's that we don't want them to have to take all these alternate routes. That is the problem that is affecting our business, not our ability to tell them you have to go to Division and then to William to then come around. We know how to do that.
Yeah.
It's more just...
That was comments that have happened in the past where somebody said that. It may have been Dr. Novak. I don't recall, but people have said they didn't know how to navigate the area.
I think that it's not just the people that are already part of your customer base or patient base. It's other new people that are trying to navigate. I mean, you can't just, so then we have to send out a postcard ourselves as our marketing and be like, and this is the convoluted way you have to get to our space,
The only way to do that, I mean, Google won't do it anymore unless, because you have to get it changed.
Right.
It takes a lot of changes.
Yes.
So I think what Trustee Bachner's saying is, helpful to you. I mean, like you said, it may not be helpful to you.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, I think that would be a lot of extra work that isn't really necessary. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
I don't think that's really where the problem is.
Well, we understand.
Yeah.
Yep. Of course. We hope it's not the last time.
The question is, if the traffic committee recommends to make the barriers permanent.
Yes.
Then you, nice ladies and gentlemen,
then
you have to vote.
We'll discuss it.
And you vote that they are permanent. And then do we have still an input? Can we oppose? That's my question.
Yes, of course, always. You always have a vote.
Then why are to make this a chronic problem? That you speed up and solve it, and that's it.
Well, because there's others that, you know, we're trying to solve.
No, I know there are people that they are for, but where are they? They are not here.
Well, I mean, I'm not speaking on their behalf.
Simple
I don't know.
Question, right? If they are so much interested, they should come. And I said, we want the barriers because they are nice colors, because these are.
I don't know. I mean, I can't answer the
question. Okay, thank you, Madam President.
Yep, you're welcome. Yeah, Lisa. And then we're supposed to be deliberating here, but Lisa, go ahead.
I'm sorry, but there's one thing here it's the elephant in the room. I think there needs to be some statement that when the Traffic and Safety Commission, as you say, you rely on them because that's their expertise and they make recommendations to you. If they make a recommendation to you that is contrary, in direct contravention of a traffic and safety study, I think they need to advise you that their recommendation is actually not compliant with what was recommended and why. And if it doesn't do that, you're going to be back here again.
Right. Right. Yep. And they should. And one of the things that, you know, I'm sure Jeff knows in terms of dealing with the commission is that when a report comes back, it needs to have justification on the report on if it's different. Interesting enough, I mean, sometimes it is different and residents like it. I mean, depending on this, on the situation. So, but understood. Heard you and. We hear you. So we're just gonna ask. I mean, unless it's something different.
No. Okay. Yeah, it is different. It's very, very quick. So I have been asked forever with a FOIA, with letters. Can I see the study that is supporting the barriers?
Mm-hmm.
I've asked everyone, and no one has an answer. Is such study, does it exist or not?
Yep.
I would like to see the reasons why, written by someone who knows what he's doing, some expert, somebody with qualification. And then if there is someone with qualification that says, yes, the barriers are necessary, then I will not come here every 2 weeks to say the same thing. So please, is there such study? Does it exist? Yes or no? The one that supports the barriers.
I don't. Well, again, we appreciate the comment. I mean, I think that's a question that the commission needs to answer as well. But I'll just say that, you know, they gave us their views and viewpoint on this.
No, they should be available. It should be available. This is the village.
Well, whatever.
The only study that was completed was the KLOA study.
Well, the KLOA. So that's the only study that exists, the KLOA. So why people came up all of a sudden with barriers if there is no data supporting the barriers? This isn't the question that I've been trying to have an answer for over 2 months. And I wrote a letter to each one of you, excuse me a second, to each one of you, and I apologize if I'm being rude, at least twice. I had FOIA letters. Could please anyone send me a very quick email saying, yes, the study supporting the barriers exist or no? Somebody did it without any study and there are no data supporting it. That's all. Thank you.
All right. So any further questions on the policy we need to vote on? So hearing no further comments or questions, then I'd ask for the.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Bochner.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
All right, so we'll go through to a new business. If I can get a motion and a second on item 9A.
Motion to approve the leasing from Zoll One Medical Corporation in an annual amount of $19,939.29.
Second.
Okay, you're good. Thank you. Any comments or questions on board? Okay, hearing none, I'd like to ask.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Bochner.
Yes.
And Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
very much. Okay, so let's go to 9B. This is an introduction to permit fee analysis and revisions. And again, no action, just in our discussion.
All right, so in the village's continued effort to streamline the permit review process, staff incorporated a line item in this year's budget to have a review and analysis completed on the village's permit fees. The idea behind the effort is to further find efficiencies in the process that will allow the village to be more transparent with fee-related information, and to make the fee identification process easier for both staff as well as applicants. We're also trying to make sure that our fees are aligned with general industry standards so that we don't have any major outliers one way or the other. Without having previously performed a comprehensive review of the village's permit fees, it seems ideal to complete this work now that the implementation of LLAMA, our permit portal software, has been somewhat completed. We've currently, or recently, I should say, worked through some, with new staff, we've gone back and done another round of training. So we're heavily reliant and more so on a daily basis on LLAMA. And because of its automation capabilities, simplifying our permit fee process make a big difference in streamlining the overall review process. So to that end, in November of last year, the village entered into a contract with HR Green to perform the work. And though the final report is not yet available for review, staff felt it was prudent to kind of introduce the general project to the board as you've not seen it before, and just kind of walk you all through some of the information that has already been made available to us on a preliminary basis, just to solicit feedback and see if there are any questions at this time before we continue on with the work. Some of these highlights that we have been able to suss out thus far include some of the fee analysis shows that our permit fees, which, you know, our building permit fees, which is the more significant fees, we charge 2% or 2.35% if it's commercial on the cost of construction. Those more significant fees, which is going to make up the bulk of our revenue related to permit fees, those are generally aligned with industry standards, so we would not be looking to make any significant changes on those fees. Our construction bonds appear to be slightly low, so we'll probably be coming back and trying to increase those a little bit. Solar panel fees, obviously that technology as it continues to grow, we think it would make sense to have a standalone fee for that to simplify the process for those looking to install solar panels. Our contractor license fees, we have numerous contradictions throughout the ordinance and in LLAMA as well. So general cleanup is just another one thing that we need to do. We don't believe that this comprehensive review has ever been performed on our permit fees. So there will be a lot of cleanup coming out of this as well. Our water-related fees here appear to be slightly low, so we might want to increase some of those. And once we get to the point where we're making recommendations back to you all for raising or lowering some of our permit fees, we'll have some additional review to see if we can generally simplify the process. Some of our fees, as aligned with industry standards as they may be, can be quite convoluted. For instance, electrical work, you get charged for every outlet you're installing. So imagine 800 Harlem, the assisted living facility, that probably took hours just to calculate, you know, several hundred dollars worth of electrical fees. So there are ways in which we can make the process more efficient and simplified, again, both for staff as well as for applicants. I've included a table of the village's current fees here in the memo so you can kind of have some context for this conversation. Ultimately, we're going to complete the assessment and identify areas where the fee structure can be simplified, and we're going to try to create a framework. What you see this table here doesn't really exist in the ordinance anywhere. That's us just, you know, staff putting that list together into a digestible format. What we would like to do is truly create a table like that we can put in our ordinance so that all permit fees live in one place, and everywhere else throughout the ordinance that is referencing a fee can just reference back to one table. So that way, any future changes that we do want to make, we know they're all in one spot. We don't have to be back in this position again down the line as far as the cleanup goes. So at this time, there's no motion required. We just, again, wanted to introduce this project to the village board and solicit any feedback that you all have, or with that, happy to answer any questions you have as well.
I would just say that on the solar panel fee, I know that our SolSmart designation and designations that we're continuing to go for require cost-effective approval process, and we want to encourage our residents and incentivize them to go for solar. So it has to be, you know, cost effective.
One other thing that we are exploring is kind of additional nuisance or site condition fees or fines, I guess would be more accurate.
Yeah, so one of the issues that interim manager Walsh raised was your fees have to be charged and they have to have some basis to the kind of staff time or the impact on the village. But there are situations where you have permits that remain open with work uncompleted. And the idea is, well, then the permit fees have to be renewed. And so the thought was, well, if someone's leaving a project unfinished for that long, when they renew, why don't we quadruple or really make those fees very expensive? The problem with that is there really may not be very much staff time. The problem isn't so much the impact on the staff. It's the impact on the residents of the village. So one of the things we're looking at is, you know, when you take out a permit, there's a time period to complete it. And that's because it's anticipated the work will be done within that time period. So one thing we're looking at are situations where there are unfinished projects and you'd still have to renew your permit or get an extension or do a whole new process anyway. But in addition to that, if the status of the property is what we would define as a nuisance to the community, it would be more appropriate than to make that a violation of the code and seek fines for that rather than simply trying to use the renewal process as a punishment. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. It would still have to be done, but these would be more fines, and fines do not have to be related to staff.
I highly encourage
that.
Makes sense. And I'd like that to be part of, you know, this, whatever we're going to approve.
That's the direction.
Okay,
I don't have a finished product yet. It isn't part of
right.
Jeff's mission. It's more
right.
mine.
Your mission.
But it's
right.
to be
right.
included with
it. So on a... It's some kind of residential remodeling project. What kind of time frame are we, I mean, generally speaking, are we talking about a year from being?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And a residential remodeling project probably wouldn't rise to the level of becoming a nuisance. It would
Correct.
Be more,
exactly.
yeah. That would be more just extensions,
right.
you know, so.
Does that fall to a renewal of the permit or a fine?
Well, really more of a renewal of the permit on a small project like that, because it probably wouldn't have much effect on the surrounding properties. But
if it did, that's
an if. What I'm envisioning is an ordinance that would more likely apply to more large commercial projects that remain unfinished. We saw back in 2008 when the housing market collapsed, there were a number of single-family houses that were part of the boom that simply stopped, and they remain there in a half-finished condition. Those situations at that time were typically resolved by demolition actions, which allow a municipality to recoup all its costs for tearing down and restoring a property like that. But this kind of ordinance could be used for something like that as well.
Are we going to be taking a look at all our fines then? In relation to?
Not specific to this process. I know that staff has discussed revisiting other fines and fees as well. This is more specific to construction and building development related, but we certainly can explore those.
So we'll look forward to seeing more later on. All right. All right, thank you. All right, well, I think that concludes our open regular. We are going to go into executive session. So,
Do we have to close it out and then open it?
I think we go into executive session.
Right, so we move to enter into executive session pursuant to 5 ILCS 120 /2. Subparagraph C, subparagraph 1, to discuss the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the village, and the village board will adjourn after executive session and will not return to open session.
Second.
Okay.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Bochner.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
All right, we'll take just a 2 minutes, and then we'll reconvene.